This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
There's a story in Matthew 19 where Jesus says this. Well, this happens with Jesus. The disciples, Matthew 19, it says, brought little children to Jesus. People brought them for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And then when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. I wonder what that looked like, placing his hands on them. What did he say? "Bless you. Have some ice cream." I wonder what it, you know, he spoke to them, he was with them. God speaks to the children. And although there's a huge cultural contrast between those times and these, we can still be inspired by what the Bible says about children. Many years ago, 32 years ago, our eldest was one. And it was his birthday party. And I think this was the after party. And he... And I just remember sitting, it was his number one birthday, first birthday party, and we had him in the middle of the lounge, and lots of people gathered around, all having a birthday party, and he was completely oblivious as to the significance of the occasion. Hadn't learnt to count by then. But it was sort of symbolic of, you know, the child, his majesty, which is where we are. In ancient times, and not so ancient times too, the society was not as child-centric as it is now. And although children were highly valued, to some extent that was to do with their economic potential, the provision for the family in the future. To be childless was a serious social and economic problem in ancient times. Today we value children highly for who they are, and we have extensive cultural practices and legislative structures to protect and look after them. We could do a lot better. A lot of mistakes happen, and it's in the news a lot. But if you only have to read Charles Dickens to find out that we're a great deal further ahead than we were 100 years ago. Over the centuries, as we have made steps forward in looking after children and caring for them better and better, most of those steps have been as a result of Christian activism, which finds its roots in the biblical doctrine of the God-given value of every individual. Whatever their age, whatever their sex, whatever their ethnic background, that's the direction of travel. It's a wonderful direction of travel, and it's the influence of biblical values. In stark contrast to that, although that is the wonderful direction of travel, there are some contradictory approaches in our society to this ethic of the value of the individual, specifically towards the unborn child and towards the stranger. I regret that our MPs recently voted to include an amendment to the Health and Care Bill, which allowed the continuation of home abortion post-pandemic. I also regret the government's plans to send asylum seekers to Rwanda. Now, as you know, most of you who are regulars here know, I tend to steer away from party political commentary. But as one of these issues is strongly supported by Labour and Lib Dem and the other one by the Conservatives, I'm having a go at everybody this morning, okay? Equally everybody. Criticising them all. Why? Because our theme for 2022 as a church is life. Abundant life. And I just want you to be alert. I want us all to be alert to social and political trends which drift us away from biblical beliefs about the life and the value of the individual. A biblical view of life includes a significant place for babies and children. And on a day when we've dedicated three of them, I thought it'd be good to look at the dedication story in the scriptures. So if you'd like to find 1 Samuel chapter 3, on your device or on your Bible. If you're using those blue Bibles in the pews, it's page number 203. It's on the left-hand end of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with it, just look in the contents. It's much quicker. 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you don't possess a Bible, do take one of those blue ones with you. It's our gift to you. Now, last month, I explained how I prefer the language of procreation to reproduction. And I concluded that the Lord of all creation gives abundant life and makes it sacred. I said that the Lord of all creation commands us to become co-creators, procreators with him. And thus many of us, not all of us, but many of us will become mothers and fathers, handing life down, participating in the abundance of life. I've spoken about that over the last few weeks. How the Lord of all creation loves children and speaks to children and speaks to the children through us, through you and me. The Lord of all creation gives all of us a role to play in raising children. Alex talked about how as church family we operate as a village. The village raises a child. And may we teach our children to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Anybody here called Samuel? No Samuels, that's unusual. Samuel means the name of God, the offspring of God. And in this backstory about Samuel, we haven't got time to read the whole story, but let me give you a quick introduction to the backstory. We've got Elkanah, he's the father figure of the family, probably quite wealthy. He marries somebody called Hannah, who finds eventually that she can't have children. And in that society, it would have been crucial to have children. So although he really cares for Hannah, he also marries Peninnah, who does have children. And every year, he takes the family on a road trip up to Shiloh, to the temple, for an annual celebration. But Peninnah is mean to Hannah and mocks her for not having children. And one year at the temple, Hannah is so upset that she's off at the side praying and crying, and Eli mistakes what's happening. He thinks she's drunk. But she's praying for a child. And she promises, she makes the Nazarite promises to dedicate the child, if the Lord will give her one, to dedicate the child to the temple and to the Lord. The Eli, once he realizes she's not drunk, blesses her prayer and sends her home. And later, she does get pregnant and she has a little boy and she calls him Samuel. He's too small to travel for the next road trip to Shiloh, so she stays behind. Elkanah gives her his blessing. And then a bit later on, she goes up with a big sacrifice. Thank you, Elkanah, for paying for that. And leaves Samuel, dedicates him to the temple and leaves him there. At the same time, there's a parallel story, which is about the Eli's sons, who are the priests in the temple, and who are crooked and abuse their positions of trust. And Eli wasn't strong enough to control his sons, and the Lord is beginning to withdraw his favor from their ministry. Let's read 1 Samuel 3 from verse 1. So the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You call me." Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me," again. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there. I wonder what that looked like. Calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So Samuel went on to become a powerful prophetic leader and pastor to the people of God. And he anointed the first two kings of Israel and spoke without fear or favor. Like every grown up, it all started before he was grown up. We were all babies and children once, even me, long time ago. And we all had God's purposes and potential in our lives right from the beginning. So let's just look at this ancient story about how Samuel ends up where he ends up through the eyes of the players. First of all, we've got the father, Elkanah. He pays for, he encourages, he supports Hannah. You get the impression he's a good at his business, whatever that is, and he's diligent in his work, and he cares for his family, and he affirms his wife, Hannah. He cooperates in Samuel's dedication. He played a significant part in Samuel's extraordinary future and probably never had any inkling of what was to come. Then you've got Hannah, his mother, the mother who prays for and dedicates her son to God. It's often the mother who makes the sacrifices. It's often the mother who discerns the child's future and can release it through declaration and risk. It's often the tears and prayers of the mother that move the heart of God. And then you've got the sons of Eli who are spiritually blind to what God is doing right in front of them in a child. And you can read that elsewhere in the story. We haven't got time to go into that. But there are always people around who could, but they could help, but their priority is themselves. They miss what God is doing right in front of their eyes. How different their future would have been if they had turned from their selfish ways and paid attention to somebody else. You got the foster father, Eli, who is physically almost blind, but who steers Samuel towards God. And amidst his various weaknesses and failings, he had the discernment and the will to turn to Samuel and to turn him towards the Lord God. Some are able to engage in deeper discipleship or open the scriptures to children and the young people, but we can all, parents, elders, we can all encourage them to attend to the redemptive word from Jesus. Eli's was not complicated mentoring. He just told Samuel to listen and answer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We can do that too. God has his part to play in this, doesn't he? He speaks to everyone and he calls out Samuel and reveals his plans and purposes. And as you read around the story, you realize that God is always trying to speak to his people and guide them in safe and flourishing paths. But few are listening. And when one person does, a child, encouraged by an adult, Samuel, encouraged by Eli, what happens? God's ways comes to pass. Battles are won and lost. People fall from power. Kings are anointed. The kingdom of God is established when one person listens. Today, God's Holy Spirit speaks to us still. And then we've got Samuel, who learns to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who listens to the voice of God, who serves and obeys. Just as an aside, I don't think this is so much about physical hearing. Of course, it's that as well. But it's also about spiritual hearing. God finds ways of communicating with us, whether we can hear or not. Whatever language we speak, whether we're on any sort of neuroatypical spectrum, God will speak to us. Mark the child, Samuel, ignored by the adults around him, but diligently serving without expectations and obediently listening when told how to do it, and then obediently responding in the face of terrifying outcomes. It makes me think of our children, the ones who are up here, and many others, maybe are online or away at the moment. I'm thinking of the children, our church family and beyond. Which of them are going to be guided to hear the call of God in their lives? Which of them are going to see the kingdom come in world-changing ways when they listen and obey? God is speaking to the children, but we all play our part in helping them to hear what he's saying. Where are we in this drama? Are you the supportive father? Are you the sacrificial mother? Are you the guiding leader? God protect us from being the self-centered elders, the older ones who miss what God is doing right in front of us. In Isaiah, we read of King Hezekiah declaring that one of the main points of living is to praise God and tell the children about him. It says, Isaiah 38:19, the living, he says, they praise you. This is King Hezekiah. They praise you as I am doing today. And parents tell their children about your faithfulness. Some of you have got obvious opportunities. You have your own children or your grandchildren. You work in schools or youth work. But many of you will be thinking, whether you're online or whether you're here in person, you'll be thinking, this doesn't apply to me. You've immediately disqualified yourself. I'm too old. I'm too young. I don't know any children. I'm single. I'm preoccupied by my own children. I'm not cool enough. That's my problem. I can't communicate well. I never know what to say. And I've been trained to keep away from children in our culture. Our safeguarding culture, although that is a good thing, has put additional barriers between us and the children. So for me, if I'm ever interacting with our young people or our children, I'm always super aware to make sure I'm visible and that I know where the parents are. I don't have anybody under the age of 18 on my contact lists. They're barriers we put in place around us. Parents, you're sometimes wary of people coming close to your children. We've been made fearful and we've been trained to be vigilant, not without cause, admittedly. But in our dedication service, we use that epigram that Alex said, that it takes a village to raise a child, and it does, and our church family is one such village. And we've all been able to play a part this morning in praying for, blessing, and committing ourselves to Felicity, Connie, and Iris, and their parents. So with all that in mind, what can we do? So I'd like to encourage you to talk to somebody. You don't have to do this. If you're here and you just don't want to talk to anybody, that's absolutely fine. I don't want to force it. But if you're in a friendly mode and the person next to you is okay, then turn to them and just have a little chat about where do you have contact with children? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. And if you do, how could you speak to them in the way Eli released Samuel? And if you don't, how could you get to that point? So how can you play your role in ensuring that the Samuels amongst us are guided into being able to hear the call of God on their lives? Just by way of example, I mean, there's lots of different examples, but when we were newly married, we were living in Nottingham. We didn't have the children then. And every day, once a week, was it every day or once a week? Twice a week. The young people from the youth group, some of them, on their way home from school, would drop by our house, and Alison would give them some refreshments and do a sort of a light hours Bible study with them, week after week. And 40 years later, we're still in touch with many of them, and many of them are still following Jesus and teaching their children, the ones who've got them, about Jesus. So why don't you just take a couple of minutes just to share ideas, questions. Get yourself thinking about how you can be an Eli to a Samuel. Go. Okay. So if you're watching online, and you're having a discussion with yourself or with whoever you're sitting with, by all means, email in to hello at Leeds Vineyard. I'm not sure we'll pick it up in time to share it, but it'd be good to have what your input into it. So please do. Any quick suggestions? What jumps to your mind about how you can be part of God speaking to children? You were all talking a minute ago. Go on, you're about to say something. Your testimony of how God speaks to you. Okay, great.
Turning it around, God spoke to Samuel, then Samuel spoke to the nation. So being able to listen to what the children said to us.
Listening to the children, because Samuel spoke and the people listened. Yeah, listening to the children say to us, yeah. So having the children in a place where they're safe and loved. Make schools a safe place. Yeah. That's, so you're a teacher. Yeah. Ah, yes. Bring them here. Yeah, sort of being natural in talking about Jesus all the time, so that's what they pick up. Sorry if I can't hear you very well. I've taken out my hearing aids to be able to fit this microphone thing in. You have to shout. One more. I didn't quite get that. Can somebody relay that? Praying for them? Okay, praying for them and letting them be part of that testimony of answered prayer. Okay, it's a huge thing, and we haven't got time to explore it more. I just want to nudge you, especially those of you who haven't thought about it. Maybe those of you who are younger, in your young 20s or 30s, who sort of you're leaving childhood behind. You have no idea how influential you are, because you're the next one, the next stage for the young people in particular. That's why it's so impactful. For Alison, as a 20-something-year-old, doing that group with those... They're now in their 50s, which is a frightening thought. Or for those who are older, those of you who are single and just don't interact that way, this, you're not off the hook. Think about how the Lord might just use you as an encourager, as an observer, as a nudger, as a... Just saying a simple thing like, just when the Lord speaks, say you're listening. That's what you need to say. And I also want you to be alert to the way our society is sometimes pushing in the opposite direction. Let's conclude. I said, the Lord of all creation commands us to become co-creators with Him. So many of us will become mothers and fathers, not all of us, participating in that handing down of the abundance of life. But the Lord of creation loves all children and speaks to all children and speaks to the children through us. The grown-ups. The Lord of all creation gives all of us a role to play in raising children, part of the creative process. May we be a church family, a village which teaches our children to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's pray, shall we? Josh, do you want to join me, Alison? I just want to pray in response to that for parents. Just to negotiate this thing about this, the balance between that. Like Hannah prays for a child and then dedicates him to God. I mean, what an extraordinary thing to do. So, Lord, I pray for parents here who are just working into understanding their role as parents and their and how they can lead and raise their children. And I just ask you to grant them, Holy Spirit, would you fall now on parents and just grant them an anointing to know how to do this job. Receive this. If you're a parent, receive this now. There's something going on. Receive it. And some of you have got real complicated things in your family. I understand that. And the Lord knows that. Let him come. Let him come. And I pray for all of us as the village, the church village, would you make us a place where our children are heard and where we know how to lead people into your presence, lead the children into your presence, that we may know how to mentor them and speak to them and guide them and give them examples of how to listen to you.